Makes me wish I could sing. Probably makes you wish I could sing. What a blessing. Do you know my friend Clay Hallmark, First Baptist Lexington? He's a good friend of mine. His daddy and I were in seminary together, and I've done revivals at First Baptist Lexington. It's a beautiful part of Tennessee. This morning, I just been so blessed by the sweet fellowship, and one of the things that I have enjoyed this morning, which is it was just so clear when former members, people who haven't been here in a while, maybe have moved away, have come back, you have lit up like light bulbs this morning. I mean, you have just shined. I can see the joy on your face. And thank those of you who've come back and helped make this day even more special. We're blessed that you're home. You'll always have a home here at Calvary. Well, I want to encourage you to take your Bibles this morning. And I want to share with you a message that may seem like a little bit of an unusual message. But let me maybe preface it with a couple of questions. The other day, my son, the one who lives in Weatherford, Texas, and has him a small ranch there and got some longhorn cattle and some horses and just a great place for us to go and spend time, was out feeding his cattle the other day, and he saw something underneath the brush where the cattle bed down. It was orange, and it was a copperhead. If you and I were walking along through a pasture or near a barn and you didn't see it and I saw a copperhead near you, and if I didn't warn you about it being there, it would be an ugly sight when you finally figured it out, wouldn't it? You mean you saw that snake and didn't tell me about it? I hate snakes. I do. There aren't any good snakes except dead snakes. Or if maybe we were about to cross traffic in downtown Memphis, heaven forbid, and the light changed and you didn't see the car that was not slowing down, and I did, and I didn't say something about it, or I didn't reach out and grab you and cause a moment of hesitation, you'd say, "Preacher, why didn't you care enough about me to let me know?" Well, I want to tell you, when we have an enemy, and that enemy is real, it's the preacher's responsibility to remind us not only that greater is He that is within us, the Holy Spirit, than he that is within the world, but we have an enemy. Our news has been covered with news about the war in the Ukraine, and my heart is breaking for those precious people in that country fighting for their lives. But the enemy is a madman, if you will. But there's another enemy that we all have that we need to at least be aware of, be on guard for. And the Bible says a good deal about this enemy. I'll talk to you about the devil and the believer. And several years ago, when we were serving as pastor here in Bartlett at Bartlett Baptist Church, the Commercial Appeal came out with an article that quoted a recent, at that time, back in the 90s, study from the Barna Research Group. And the Barna Research Group, which is a group that specializes in spiritual religious surveys and getting the pulse of where people are and how they feel about different issues, took a survey and found out that two-thirds of Americans, two-thirds, did not believe in a literal devil. That just is a reflection of our culture. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says about the devil and the believer, or a subtitle, as you see in your bulletin this morning, The Sifting of the Saints. This morning, Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 31, let me give you a little background. We're going to look back at verses 23 and 24 of that same chapter. It's interesting that Jesus and the disciples were gathered and they had just had the Lord's Supper. Now, when we think about the disciples sometimes, we think, man, that was the most spiritual group that ever was. Well, they were human beings like we are. And they had moments when they weren't very spiritual. You ever had a moment when you weren't very spiritual? Don't raise your hand. But we've all had moments when we hadn't been very spiritual. If you don't believe it, ask your wife or ask your husband. Well, the truth is, the disciples had just had the Lord's Supper. And then Dr. Luke records for us that the disciples got in an argument about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. They just left the Lord's Supper, where they talked about the fruit of the vine and the bread of life, and now they're fussing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In fact, in verse 24, the Bible says, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." And then let's skip over to verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon," Simon, he must have been the head speaker. He was the one who just told Jesus, "Lord, I'll never deny you." And Jesus had said, "Simon Peter, you're going to deny me three times before this is over." And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon," using his pre-Christian name of Peter, "behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, that he may separate you from your faith, that he may separate you from your conviction, that he may separate you from the path that you're on." But Jesus says, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted," he's still praying for him, "I'm praying that you'll strengthen your brethren." Simon Peter took those words to heart. Look over to 1 Peter, if you will, chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Simon Peter, some three decades, they think, now in ministry, writing this letter, this epistle. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, he closes that first letter not only by saying in verse 7, "Cast all your care upon the Lord," but listen to this. Simon Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Him or whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren." In other words, all those around you are going through the same struggles you are, among your brethren that are in the world. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, after your struggles, he's going to make you perfect," and we'll talk about that in a moment, "establish, strengthen, and settle you." One other passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58, Paul, we've heard from Peter, we've heard from Jesus. Now Paul says to the church at Corinth, "But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." For the next few moments, I just want us to focus on some things that Jesus mentioned, that Simon Peter reminds us of, and Paul thought it good to bring to the attention of the church at Corinth. In your outline that's in the bulletin this morning, there are really three divisions. The first of all, the danger that is before us, the desires of the evil one, or the devices, excuse me, of the evil one, and then our defense against the devil. I hope that you'll listen carefully this morning, because if somebody told me, "Preacher, in Bartlett, Tennessee, somebody turned a lion loose," and we hadn't found him yet, but he's somewhere in the vicinity of Calvary Baptist Church, I'd say, "Jack, would you go out to the parking lot and check it out for us, please?" We wouldn't take that lightly. And I pray that this morning something that we say or do, something that the Word of God says to our hearts, will help us to avoid the pitfalls of falling prey to the one who is the enemy of every child of God. The danger that is before us. The address is interesting to me. Simon, Simon. Simon Peter's name, and that Peter, Petros, was the word that our Lord added to his name because he was a rock, the small rock. Jesus was the big rock. Simon Peter was a small rock, and Jesus talked about that. But Simon was Simon Peter's earthly name, his pre-Christian name. And I believe what the Lord was saying to him was that there was a double emphasis on his name because Jesus wanted to remind Simon Peter of his, Simon Peter's, humanity and his vulnerability and his imperfections and the fact that he needed to be aware that nobody is immune, nobody is invulnerable to Satan's attacks. And the moment that you feel like you're strong enough, mature enough, wise enough, or whatever it may be, you are a prime target for the evil one. And so the danger before us is very, very real. The devil is on the prowl. Simon, Simon, don't lose track of that. Behold, behold, take note. Now, I thought this was interesting, that the NIV, it leaves the Greek term, idou, I-D-O-U, which is behold, untranslated. Now, that's not a major thing, but I think it probably is better that it's included because it conveys a sense of urgency. Simon Peter, behold, 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 Satan hath desired to have you. Neglect is very costly, and guard your heart. The address to his humanity. The admonition, take note. The adversary, Satan. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's the slanderer. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, neither give place to the devil. And then he said in Ephesians 6, now listen to this. Finally, my brethren, what's the last thing Paul wants to say to the church at Ephesus before he wraps up his message to them? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the message of Paul to the church at Ephesus was, guard your heart. James chapter 4, verse 7. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When I read what the Scripture says about our enemy, I think, Lord, help me never, ever to assume the devil is not interested in putting a target on my back. You know, the devil would love nothing better for a preacher to break people's hearts or to disappoint people or to fall along the way. And there are people that love you who are looking to you, and you're a light in somebody's life. So guard your heart and be aware that the devil has some devices. Dr. Herschel Ford called it the devil's toolbox. Those tools in his toolbox that he always uses to get at us. What are they? Well, let me share with you a couple. After the Bible tells us Jesus said to Simon Peter, he seeks to sift you as wheat. Paul said to the church at Corinth, in chapter 2, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. What's his game plan? What are his objectives? Well, let me give you two or three that you might recognize. First of all, distraction. We're going to be talking about Ezra and Nehemiah tonight in our Through the Bible series. And Ezra was the scribe that led a group from Babylonian captivity, the second group, back to Judah. And Nehemiah was the layman that God commissioned to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. Most of you, maybe all of you, are familiar with that story. But the truth is that we're going to see tonight some of the devices of the devil in distracting people from the task that God wants them to be about. But first of all, before distraction, is our desires. Every man, James says, is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Now listen carefully. God made us who we are. Emotional creatures with needs, and God gave us the character of our makeup, and we all are blessed that we can love folks, we can enjoy life, we can be blessed. But the devil wants to twist those desires. He wants to make love lust. He wants to make generosity greed, and he's trying to twist the very lives that the Lord has given to us. Be aware of the desire of the devil to keep you from honoring the lovely Lord Jesus. That's his prime target. Then distraction, what I started to say a moment ago, Nehemiah. We're going to hear tonight about Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. You know anybody named Sanballat, Tobiah and Geshem? Well, I wouldn't name my children after them because they were the distractors who said to Nehemiah, come on down from the wall. You're never going to get that thing built. By the way, they built it in 52 days, and even the enemies of God couldn't believe how wonderfully it was built. But the devil sent distractors. If you don't know this, the devil will send distractions into your life to get your eyes off of Jesus. That distraction may be an illness, it may be a crisis, it may be a problem, it may be a person, it may be a circumstance. Don't let present success sidetrack you. Don't let past failures or sin sidetrack you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, the writer of Hebrews says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. Now listen, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The devices of the devil, he wants to twist our desires. He wants to distract us from the task at hand. He wants to discourage us. You ever been discouraged? Sure. In fact, Elijah, after Jezebel told him, we talked about this the other day, Jezebel sent out a message, you're dead meat, you're on my hit list, and I'm coming after you, and you'll be dead before nighttime. Elijah, who had just prayed down the fire from heaven on the prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Baal, got scared. Now, that's not how you know it, how you say it, but in the country you understand the word scared. Scared. And he ran and hid under a juniper tree and said, Lord, just let me die. How does the prophet of God, who's just now, by the power of God, defeated the enemies of Baal, how does he get to the place where he's so discouraged and so disappointed that he asked God to let him die? He let his eyes get off of Jesus. He was distracted and he was discouraged. Satan will do all he can to discourage you. Next time Satan tries to discourage you, just count your many blessings. Name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord hath done. And if I could sing, I would sing it, but I can't, so I won't. Count your many blessings. Think about the goodness of the Lord. Focus on the things that God's given you and the house God's blessed you. Discord is another tool in the devil's toolbox. He'll try to get you crossways with somebody. He'll try to get you hurt with somebody. He'll try to get you angry at somebody or somebody with you. I really believe with all of my heart, and one of the greatest needs and hindrances, the need for forgiveness, and the hindrance is unforgiveness, is a hindrance to old-fashioned revival. I really believe if just a handful of folks in most places would get their hearts thoroughly right with God and thoroughly right with everybody else, then the power of God would be released among His people in a wonderful and powerful way. Discord. And then there's defamation. By the way, do you know that the devil is called the one who is the slanderer or the accuser of the brethren? Now listen to this. The picture seems to be that in heaven, somehow the devil can accuse the saints of God. It's almost like he's whispering to the throne room of God. See that man down there, he loves you. You see what he's doing? You see the languages, you hear the languages using, you see how he's falling and stumbling along the way? Aren't you glad that Jesus is our advocate before the Father? And when the accuser of the brethren, by the way, the devil will accuse you and remind you of sins past. Now listen, things that you wish had never happened, things you're not proud of, things you wish you could change, but the past is the past. The devil will throw those in your face. But the Lamb of God says, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose transgressions are forgiven, are washed away. So the devil will use our desires, distraction, discouragement, and discord. And I also want to include the term defamation, that accuser of the brethren, because sometimes you're going to wake up one morning, you're not going to feel worthy of God's blessings. In fact, none of us is worthy. But the truth is, we're recipients of the grace of God. He doesn't love us because we deserve it. He loves us because He's God and because we're His children. Then I want to share with you just a word about our defense against the devil. Just a word about how to be an overcomer and how to be victorious. First of all, we need to remember that we have an advocate, Jesus, who's praying for us. But I have prayed for you, Simon Peter. You know what a comforting thought. The Lamb of God praying for us in the throne room of heaven. He is our advocate. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. That's the appeal that you're... That verse 32 of our passage this morning talks really about the appeal for steadfastness. That your faith fail not. It doesn't mean you won't ever stumble. Now listen. But when you stumble, you'll get back up. You'll keep standing. You won't give up. You won't drop the ball. You won't abandon the course. Keep on keeping on. We all will struggle along the way. We all will have days that aren't too good. We got a God who picks us up, puts us right back on track. Also, there's the need for sanctification. That's the appeal. When thou art converted. Well, wasn't Simon Peter already converted? Well, yeah, but you see, the word conversion means not only I was saved back in 1962, 12-year-old boy. I am being saved. Now, notice, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, sealed by the Holy Spirit, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But I am being saved in the sense that sanctification is an ongoing growth process whereby the Lord makes us more like Jesus along the way as we mature in Christ. And I'm going to be saved. Now, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, recorded in heaven. But one of these days, I'm going to open my eyes in glory, and I'm going to be a child of God in heaven forever and ever. I was saved. I am being saved. I'm going to be saved. Simon Peter, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. By the way, God took Simon Peter from a denier to one of the most dynamic declarers of the gospel in the New Testament. Think about this. The appeal for sanctification. Keep on keeping on growing in your faith. The appeal is not only for steadfastness and sanctification, but for strength. I'm going to pray that God will give you strength for every challenge that's before you. By the way, listen now. Nothing we ever face will be bigger than the God that we serve. No enemy, no attack, no struggle, no heartache, no problem. And then I want to bring to a conclusion this morning our message by reminding us of the assurance of Simon Peter. He said, the Lord will make you perfect. Now, please know that the word perfect can mean several different things. That does not mean that we are without sin. Now, I've got some friends who believe that we ought to live above sin. But the truth is we are sinners saved by grace. Make you perfect means restore you. It's a picture of somebody with a broken bone, a broken leg or arm, and that bone or that leg is set by the doctor so that it may be healed and restored. He'll make you perfect. He'll restore you. He'll establish you. Enable you to stand against every storm and every attack. And He'll strengthen you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I don't have to fight the devil in my own strength. Oh, that a master man might live in me, that I might be the man that I ought to be. Years ago, when I was younger, I liked to watch boxing. I did. I just always did. The Lord must have a sense of humor because He gave me a son who became a mixed martial arts fighter in Dallas, Texas. He fought on television. I can't even watch that stuff. It's just so brutal. that He'll fight your battles for you. Now listen, if I could have Cassius Clay walking down the street beside of me, anybody know who Cassius Clay is? Yeah, hello. Yeah, the float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Listen, I get nervous when I think about walking the streets of Memphis. And I hope that doesn't sound too spiritual. I just get nervous. But if I had Cassius Clay walking alongside of me, Muhammad Ali, I'd say, bring it on, big boy. Bring it on. I got a man here who can handle anything you got to bring. Thank God we've got a Savior who can handle anything the devil may bring against us. He'll settle you. He'll lift you out of the miry clay and put your feet on solid ground. And the psalmist said, the Lord gave me back my song. So if you've struggled, and if you've not always been victorious over the evil one, just make up your mind today. Lord, today in this service right here, I'm going to make up my mind to do the following. Just this thought, and we're done. Guard our hearts. Guard your hearts. Be aware the devil has got a target on your back. Feed your faith. Stay in the Word. Keep praying. Surround yourself with godly influences. Walk in the light of His fellowship. Spend time with Jesus, not just in church, but in your quiet time, in your day-to-day walk. Walk in the light of His fellowship. Stand on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fail when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. Standing on the promises of God. And then lastly, rebuke the evil one in Jesus' name. Rebuke him. Now let me say just this quick word. Don't mess around with the devil. Stay away from the demonic. Leave that stuff alone. Stay as far as you can. I had a lady one time came to me and said, I'm having problems with my children. And that's not unusual. We all are parents, but I listened to her some more. And listen, she took her children who were pre-adolescence to a fortune teller and had the fortune teller read the children's fortunes. And took them to seances where somebody was trying to raise somebody from the dead. I thought, what in the world are you thinking? You stay as far away from all that stuff as you can stay and get your eyes fixed on Jesus and let the King of Glory do your battles for you. And greater is He that is within you than he that is within the world. Simon Peter, I pray the Lord will bless you, strengthen you, establish you, get your feet going in the right direction, and you'll be a picture of a great overcomer in Christ. I pray that when our time comes and our record has been written and our story has been told, it'll be said he or she was faithful to keep their eyes on the Lord and the evil one was defeated in their lives. Would you bow with me for a moment?